Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Very pleased to have back in front of the Straight Talk microphones, young lady by the name of Celeste Tiller, who is dominating the scene for workforce development here in good old York County, South Carolina. She is, of course, with the York County Regional Chamber of Commerce. Hello, Celeste.
Hello, Manning.
So let's reintroduce you. We won't tell them what we're talking about.
That's right. That's right. We'll keep that a secret.
Okay.
No. So, Manning, thank you so much. So, I am the Vice President of Talent and Workforce Development for the York County Regional Chamber of Commerce. I've been there now 3 years.
Wow.
A long time. They haven't kicked me out yet. So, my role at the chamber is really how do we connect our employers with the sources of talent, whether that is from our K-12, our higher ed, some of our alternative pathways into our workforce. But it's really how do we understand what our employers have going on, what are their needs, and how do we find the talent for them and make sure that talent is ready. That looks very different for every part of that population.
Now, prior to that, you were across the Howard Halls
right across
here at Winthrop
University. I am still there some. Yes, so I was a full-time staff member, faculty member there at Winthrop University in the College of Business. So I did various different things. My favorite thing that I did was their experiential learning. So I actually was taking students to other countries to kind of learn business in another country. So that is my favorite part of that. But I still teach there every semester, one class.
Good for you.
Yeah.
So this whole focus on workforce, was that an outgrowth of COVID because everybody disappeared and we couldn't get them back?
You know, I mean, it was happening before then. I think what happened during COVID is that people started paying a lot more attention because there were certain parts of the population that just didn't come back into the workforce. I think people assumed that we'll bring everyone back, things will come back to normal, and everyone will come back to work, and they didn't. And so what that has allowed companies to do and our state agencies and other people that are in this space to realize is we need to change the way that people work. You know, how do they work, access to work, and some of the skill sets that they have to be able to work.
So we need to do a wholesale remake of everything.
Absolutely. Huh.
So the chamber got into this,
yes,
obviously, because you represent the business community.
Yes.
Everybody's howling and screaming, yeah, we need people.
Right.
So you and Dean and the rest of the gang got together and said, we got to do something about this.
Yeah, so the reason how I ended up there is that when Dean came back into Rock Hill to run the chamber here, you know, he was in Lancaster 13 years prior to that. But, you know, they had done a strategic plan right before COVID happened. And workforce development was kind of one of those hot topics that was in the strategic plan. COVID happened. And when we were coming back out of COVID, we were hearing it a lot more from businesses. We've got to do something. You know, and selfishly for us, we're always going to be looking at it from the business perspective. What do our employers need? And so they created this position that I, you know, gladly accepted and said, let's figure it out. How do we do that? How do we make those connections and build kind of this cohesive network that allows our employers to have access to the talent they need?
So how did you, Celeste, go about trying to figure this widget out?
Well, we have some really fantastic partners throughout the state. This is a public-private partnership. It's not one entity in charge of this whole program. So for us, I actually started and really kind of figured out what was the lay of the land, who was doing what. I work a lot with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation. They have a program called Talent Pipeline Management. It really kind of understands talent and workforce as in the lens of a supply chain. So who's the end user of the talent? What does the talent go through? How is it manipulated to be that that material and that end good that a company needs? And so looking at it through that lens is how do we go back into our higher ed and our K through 12 systems? And so really understanding what that looks like, understanding what all of our school districts are doing, what all of our higher eds are doing, what partners, what wraparound services are provided from our nonprofit organizations. Like, what is it that our workforce needs in our counties?
How big was the list?
I'm still working on the list.
I can't imagine.
But we have really great partners. We've got education partners. We've got Department of Employment and Workforce partners. We've got the United Way. We've got people at Pathways, right? I mean, this is a community effort to be able to make this type of programmatic work happen in our schools and for our employers. It's not one person.
All right. Well, the devil's in the detail.
Right.
So, I mean, who else is helping you with all
this? Sure, yeah. So we've got, from our public side of it, right, we have our county governments and our city governments. We have Rock Hill Economic Development. We've got York County Economic Development. We have all of our school districts, our superintendents, our career counselors. South Carolina Department of Employment and Workforce, we have the COG, we've got our SC Work Centers. So it is all hands on deck. Anyone that touches this space, we are all working together.
So let's just take the COG,
sure,
for example.
Sure.
We know what they do, which is mm-hmm. to help out governmental entities throughout this region
sure.
get dollars
right.
to make things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So when you went to them and said, okay, mm-hmm. all these people who are benefiting from these grants
yeah.
need help.
Sure.
What did they bring to the table for this?
So what a lot of people probably don't know is that COG actually has a workforce development arm. And so they have Amanda Baker is the kind of their director of their workforce area. And she is in charge of the WIOA funds that come into our region, the Catawba region. So for York, Chester, and Lancaster counties. And they run all of the SC work centers. So individuals that are looking to be upskilled, looking for if they have been unemployed and looking for to re-enter the workforce, they're running the one-stop centers and providing on-the-job training. So there are so many resources that are happening. It's how do we connect everyone together?
So there it is,
mm-hmm.
connecting
yeah,
them.
Right.
So now,
mm-hmm.
so how do you go about, this is a little Chinese puzzle here.
Right.
I mean, how do you go about connecting all these different nonprofits, mm-hmm. governmental agencies, so that they're in sync trying to do the one thing that everybody wants to do,
right.
but not
yeah.
going over yeah. top of each other.
Absolutely. And not duplicating, right?
Yeah.
So the chamber, one of the fantastic things that we are able to do is be a connector. It's understanding what everyone is doing, bringing those individuals together so we aren't duplicating and we aren't stepping on each other and fighting for resources. And so bringing everyone together, there's so much collaboration that's happening. There's meetings and boards and conversations, and we're making movement together.
All right, you have a big table at the Chamber of Commerce.
Right.
Sits about 25 people, 30 people. Did you bring them all around the table and say, okay,
yeah.
gang,
right.
we got to get our act together?
We've done a good bit of that. We've also, I'm a part of a lot of other groups. So whether it's York County Economic Development's HR Roundtable, so I'm a part of that, and we're sharing the messages back and forth. RHEDC has a Workforce Development Subcommittee. I'm part of that, and so we have those conversations, and we connect each other together. RHEDC has also brought together what's called the FORCE, and it's all of these different entities, public and private, together. So we're all kind of a part of different groups and helping to be a little bit more cohesive in that. Same thing with the WIOA board. There's so many people. So I've kind of am in a little bit of everything to make sure that we're all moving on the same direction.
All right. So you get a call from York Technical College.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they've got an industry that whatever they're doing, and York Tech is helping them get started up, and they need 25 people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they don't know where to find those 25
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm.
So they're calling 1-800-CELESTE.
They certainly can. A lot of times when your industries are coming in, right, they're coming in, they've done their due diligence, they've been working with whether it's York County Economic Development or Rock Hill Economic Development. And so what we've created is this network of individuals that can help them figure out exactly who can do what. So it could be that they are working with Ready SC, right? That's what, under the technical college system. Maybe they're looking for apprenticeship, so that's Apprenticeship Carolina. Maybe they're looking for people that could be sourced from SC Works. So it's making sure that all of our higher eds, there is a network. So RHEDC knows exactly who they can call. York County Economic Development knows exactly who they can call. And so we've laid 3 years of groundwork to make that happen.
Well, how's it working?
It's doing good. I mean, we're making a lot of progress. Now, this is not one of those things that gets solved overnight, right?
Right.
If it was easy, it would have already been done by now. But we are definitely making a lot of progress. Being on your show makes a lot of progress.
So we're talking a lot about pulling together pieces that are out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, let's take a look at the hallowed halls over here at Winthrop University.
Right.
We had a guy come to town by the name of Edward Cerna.
Yes.
And he has redone, from what I understand, basically all the curriculum over there. So everything is focused on job readiness.
Right. Yep.
These young men and women can walk out of there, bingo, they're ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that plug in to what you're doing?
Yeah. You know, that's the big challenge, right, is we all don't have rich uncles, so we all need a job, right, when we graduate from whatever our institution is. But it's really how do we make sure our employers know that these students are ready? The students have the skill set that they need. How do we connect them? You know, Winthrop has a fantastic career development and internship department there. So Becky Ross is the director of that. And so it's how do we connect our students with the employers in various ways. There's a fantastic thing that we did. We run a program called EPIC, which is Employer Provided Innovation Challenges. And it pairs a business with a class or a group of students. We did this with York County Natural Gas back in the spring, and we had 39 students who participated in a competition. They formed groups, and they had teams, and they worked on a challenge that York County Natural Gas had put forth them. So York County Natural Gas now has 39 students at Winthrop University who know who they are, who know what they do, and have actually worked on a challenge for them, kind of a work-based learning challenge for York County Natural Gas. So now these students know what York County Natural Gas does and vice versa. So we want these students to stay here, right? Some of them are going to go home. Some of them are going to various places. But for ones that stay here, now they know there's a viable opportunity at a company here in Rock Hill.
So you're trying to replicate that?
Yes. And so we've been doing that. We've done it at Winthrop several times. We've done it at Clinton College several times. We're doing it with Rock Hill Schools this coming fall and spring. Because what we want is we want our students to have access and be aware of what is available in York County and Chester and Lancaster counties.
So how big a network? I mean, my God, there must be thousands of opportunities out there.
There are. We have a capacity problem, right? There's one me, which some people would be very thankful for. But
can't you get Dean Fail to do anything down there?
I tell you, we're just trying.
Jeez.
I'm teasing. But I think that's what it is, right? To put this to scale, there's such a great opportunity because from the student perspective, we're providing students with work-based learning. We have so many students, whether it's high school or college, that don't have transportation or are having to work outside of their classes, right, to provide for themselves or their family. So if we can go into the classrooms, connect them with employers, there's an accessibility that we're able to offer to these students. They're able to enhance their durable skills, so their creativity, their critical thinking, their presentation skills, their teamwork, all the stuff that employers say that they want, all the while learning what an employer does and now being aware that that is a viable career option for them.
But as you mentioned at the beginning of the program, we're really redoing the whole concept of what work is like today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So most employers have brought their employees back from COVID.
Some of them begrudgingly.
Begrudgingly, and the employees begrudgingly.
Right.
But we've learned what technology can do and what technology cannot do.
Right.
And this human, being beside another human being can pay big dividends.
It certainly can.
Big dividends.
Yep.
So how do you balance the two? Because
you know, that's the thing, right? So that's kind of what some of this programmatic work that we're trying to do is listening to our employers and helping to understand what skills are they saying that our employees are missing, and taking that into the classroom and helping our faculty and the staff members at schools be able to actually portray that and have the students do it on a day-to-day basis. In an actual business setting. So it allows the students to be more prepared, and our employers are getting the employees that they need.
Tell me technology is...
There's some of that involved, right? Because we're going to have to, right? AI is not going to take away every job. So we have to figure out, how do we adapt to AI? How do we work with technology? How do we do all those things, all the while still having those interpersonal relationships?
Well, and then we have to take a step back and realize another, I think, benefit of COVID has been we have learned to appreciate the trades.
Mm-hmm.
We need electricians.
Yep.
We need carpenters. We need masons.
Skills pay the bills.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yep.
So how does that focus in on this?
So, you know, we're kind of an equal opportunity, right? And so a couple of different ways. One, working with York Tech and kind of helping make sure that we're doing the same thing at every one of our institutions, helping our high school students see what's out in our marketplace, advanced manufacturing, right? I mean, going into a lot of our companies that we have here and showing them proper pathways. But also kind of going into our employers and really looking, starting to look at their job descriptions and say, okay, does every employee you have need to have a four-year degree? If it does, great. What does that mean for you? But if it doesn't, then let's focus on the skills that an employee may possibly have.
And I think we're finding out there's a lot of the jobs that you never thought twice about.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Are jobs that are very much in demand right now.
Yeah,
I mean, York Technical College will tell you that they need truck drivers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And truck drivers can make a six-figure salary.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
As well as a carpenter,
right.
Finished carpenter,
mm-hmm.
a mailing.
Yeah. And that, you know, the CDL program is a four-week program. So you can take someone who has finished high school, go into the CDL program, right? They'll have to age appropriately, right, to be able to drive across state lines and various things. But, I mean, these are life-changing programs that are based on a skill that someone has. And it doesn't need to be frowned upon either, right? Because we went through a period of time.
Yeah. And that's... So you mentioned a very interesting point there. So how do we overcome that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think part of it's been overcome by just by the salary that you get paid.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the college expense you don't have to go through.
Right, yeah.
But still, there's a stigma
there.
There
is. And I think for us, so I created a program when I was at Winthrop called Business Expedition. And what it did when I was there is it took students into certain jobs and certain places to where they could see kind of the world of work. What does work look like? So we just did this not that long ago with Saluda Trail Middle School. So we took a robotics class and an art class, combined them together, and we took them to All-American Cornhole. And what we wanted them to be able to see was advanced manufacturing doesn't look the way that your parents, your grandparents,
right.
other people think that they do. So we have to introduce students to what's out there and what it looks like and what those jobs and career paths could be for them and mean for them as far as their financial security going forward.
I will never forget, and I've told this story before, when GT Tire opened up down there in Richburg, they had a grand opening, and they invited the governor.
Mm-hmm.
And the governor shows up, as he always does, impeccably dressed, dark blue suit, starched white shirt and the tie. And they said, "Governor, we're going to have you make a tire." "You're going to make a tire?" "Yeah." "Come over here, push this button, and stand back."
Right.
That's advanced manufacturing.
Absolutely. And the factories are clean. Now, there are some that are not, but, you know, they're clean and they're so advanced. And these kids need to see this. The parents need to see this too, right?
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Yep.
Okay, we have to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Okay, this lady is smart. She knows what's going on here. Fresh subs and salads, 6 days a week here at Substation 2. How we do it is in the white letters at the count of three. Are we all ready? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
The hot meatball subs with jalapenos.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Most people experience orthopedic concerns at some point in their lifetime, whether it's arthritis, back pain, injury, or any other condition. At Piedmont Medical Center, our team understands joint pain can make a huge difference in your day-to-day activities, and we stand ready to help. With minimally invasive surgical options available, the orthopedic teams in Rock Hill and Fort Mill are here to help you break free from pain so you can live more happily. Learn more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Why do you take investment advice from a mutual fund or insurance salesman when you can work directly with a genuine money manager? If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see the difference for yourself. 324-5044 or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
I like the friendly service, and I like that the meat's fresh and the food tastes good. They slice the meat right there in front of you.
Man, it's just utterly delicious.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Very pleased to have with us Celeste Tiller, who's the Vice President for Workforce and Development at the York County Regional Chamber of Commerce. That is a mouthful.
It is.
You put that on your business card?
Barely. It's in fine print.
All right. This is fascinating work you're doing. There doesn't seem to be an end to it by any means. But it seems to be that the what you're doing and what others are doing is trying to plug employers into this network of yours. How does somebody do it? They just call 1-800-CELESTE?
They can. They can reach out to us at the Chamber. Probably not the 1-800-CELESTE. I'm not sure where that might take them. But certainly reach out to us. You know, I think we were talking about this during the break is, you know, what's next? Like what do we do? And it's the how for the employers. How do we get them connected? They need to be connected with our higher eds. They need to be connected with our other sources of talent, with our K-12s. And so what we have actually done at the Chamber is we have created the LIFT, stands for Leadership Institute for Talent. And because, you know, not only is it the recruitment of talent, but we've got employers who have retention issues. Like, how do I retain my talent too? So a lot of times you just think about getting the right employee. Well, how do we keep them? How do we upskill them? How do we make sure they have the right leadership skills if we're moving them into management? And so we've created LIFT. We have launched that website. That'll go live. Molly in our office will be sending that out soon. But it's going to have a lot of resources for our employers. If I want to go and work, if I'm in Clover and I want to go work with the Clover School District, how do I get in to the right people in Clover? If I'm in York, how do I do that? And so we're trying to create this repository for all of those resources so it's not as difficult for our employers to make those connections.
So once you, I mean, you've got all this together, but we all know that we have a large number of employers who probably don't even know where City Hall is.
They're
just disconnected from the community.
They are here.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yet they have the same issues that all the locals.
Yep.
I mean, there's a lot of difference between a Comporium.
Yes.
And whoever it is out in the industrial park.
Yep.
So is that a knocking on doors thing?
It is. And so what we're working on right now, so like I said, there's a capacity. There's only one Celeste. But through these partnerships and collaborations, we're able to reach so many more of our businesses. So bringing our advanced manufacturing partners together and having those conversations, bringing our healthcare partners together. So we're doing it by industry and bringing those voices together and understanding what are their needs. We call that our employer collaboratives. And so really kind of working that and kind of going through the strategy of understanding what are their demands, what are their pain points, where's the supply of talent that they have coming in, how do we create those supplies, and how do we create the actual skill sets that they need to be successful.
So you might, let's say, use that great big chamber meeting room.
Yes, absolutely.
And invite 20 employers.
Yes.
Hi, here we are. We're the Chamber of Commerce. Yeah. Here's what we've got.
Right.
How can we help you?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we're doing. So we're launching these employer collaboratives in each one of our major industries in York County and just bringing the voices together, right? They all have similar pain points. They have all similar issues, not exactly, you know, down to every minute detail, but it's really understanding how do we collectively impact that industry.
So all these industries that you're dealing with, they all have their metrics, you know, whether something's successful, whether something's not working.
Mm-hmm.
Are you using a metric for yourself?
I do. So I mentioned the Talent Pipeline Management Program earlier. And so that's exactly how, when we bring those employer collaboratives together, we take them through the different strategies in that program, that TPM model. And then we kind of, when we get to the end, we, you know, the success is creating a viable talent pipeline for that industry. And then we go back to the beginning and say, okay, now what's the next pain point? So for us, success is the connectivity of the employers, but also helping to create a pipeline of talent into that industry.
So you've referenced, jokingly, there's only one Celeste.
There is.
But it sounds to me like we need to find another Celeste. Is there something that you're working on to try to help you with this?
So I think the collaboration that we're doing with other entities, bringing in partners, we have two fantastic interns at our office from Winthrop that come and stay with us during the school year. They're helping with that. We're trying to kind of figure out how do we maybe create some additional partners that can help us work in this area.
Yeah. All right. So what's missing? What is if Celeste could wave her wand?
Ooh, this is dangerous.
And I need this. What would it be? Money?
Money, always, right? And so, you know, investment in the chamber, investment in our foundation. So I work under our foundation at the chamber, which allows me to really be in all of our areas in the Catawba region, not just in York County. You know, scholarships for work-based learning allow ability to run a business expedition where I'm taking students out to see different industries, sponsoring an EPIC program. So there's so many different ways to get involved and actually make a connection with our students and the future workforce.
So I would imagine that some of these industries and maybe some of the governments have chipped into this
effort.
They
have, very much so. SCDU, we have an RWA, a regional workforce advisor in our area. The state of South Carolina has 12 of them. We have one in our region. So Thomas Monroe is our RWA. We have a great partnership with our RWA. We have great partnerships, financial partnerships with a lot of our companies in the region because they value and they trust what we're doing, and they know that there is an actual impact to what their money is being given for.
And the county's involved with this as well.
The county has been involved in this over the last 3 years, and so because they see that, because if our workforce isn't ready, and we're not going to be able to attract new companies.
Well, that's the key thing, because companies can locate anywhere in the world they want to.
So why locate here?
Yeah, why locate here? We know we have all this beautiful stuff, but if we don't have a workforce,
right?
Why would they come here?
And if we're not in tune to the needs of those industries, right, that's the whole reason why those collaboratives exist, is understanding what do those industries need, so when we were recruiting the next company, we have it ready here now.
Well, Celeste Tiller, you are doing fabulous work.
Thank you, sir.
And do what you can to get Dean doing something down there.
I mean, how many hours in a day do I have to work?
You need another Celeste to get Dean going. I got you.
Right.
All right, well, that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. All right, he has been patiently waiting because he knows the one thing that he can do is right here at Substation 2 between 12:30 and 1 o'clock. That's called Read the White Letters. So at the count of three, if you are literate at the count of three, we want you to repeat after me when I say three, right? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.